You are listening to Ron Van Dam, or as the French call him, our mortal enemy. Forgive and forget, France. Forgive and forget. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
What did I ever do to France?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. You know my name. You know what I do. Let's get started. It's Friday. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's Friday. What does that mean? Nothing. Oh, the weekend's coming. That means you don't have to work unless you're in retail. I worked in retail for a while. It was about 10 minutes. I had a job in a clothing store. It was my first job ever. I worked in a place called Fields Department Store in Jackson Heights, Queens, New York. Uh-huh. Yeah, my stepmother got me the job. Usually your first job, somebody else gets you the job for you, you know? a little bit of money under the table. Hey, can you get this bastard to do a job here? Can you? Here's $10. Sure, we got an opening. So I got a job in Fields Department Store. It was a men's and women's clothing store, but I worked in the men's department. They wouldn't dare put me in the ladies' department. No, bad idea. So I was in the men's department, which was in the basement of this building. And my first job, because I had no experience doing anything at all, my first job was to fold the sweaters. I was the folder. I was the folder of the on-floor merchandise. They taught me first in about a half-hour session how to fold clothes. You take the arms and you put them here, and then you fold it in half and you put it over here. I don't know if I can do that. I had never gone to school for folding. There was no class in school for folding. I had never folded before. Ron, would you fold that? I don't know what you're talking about. How do you spell that word? What you do is you fold the clothes. I don't know what you're saying. So after this half-hour instruction on how to fold clothes, that's what I did all day. I would just walk around the store folding clothes. What could be more exciting than that? Anything. That was the folder. When they needed to have clothes folded, they would call me and, Ron, go to the men's department, the t-shirt department, folding incident, aisle 3. So I would fold. And I did this for, it seemed like only for 10 minutes before they fired me, but I think it was maybe 10 days at the most. I don't even think it was that. I have no recollection of anything before the age of 50. But I was the folder, man. Yeah, man. I hated that job. I hated having to be somewhere. That was my problem with working and going to school. The fact that is like jail to me, because you have to show up at a certain time. Otherwise, you're in trouble. I had to show up at a certain time. You had to stay there until they released you. That is jail to me. So I get out of school, right? And then I go to college where it's jail light. Like, you don't really have to go to the classes and they'll still give you a diploma. So I didn't mind jail light too much. I went to New York University, or because people there can't say the entire name of the school. We just call it NYU. It was so much easier to say. Who has time to say the entire phrase? So I went to some classes I didn't. I just went to the ones I liked. Every class I had at NYU had like 50 people in it, at least upwards of 200-300. Some of my classes were done in amphitheaters. Not a lot of classrooms at NYU, but a lot of amphitheaters. So they wouldn't even bother taking roll call because that would take an hour. So I didn't show up to a lot of those, and I still passed. Actually, I did very well on the final tests, and I never even went to the class. I know. Yeah, what does that say? So that was jail light. And then I had to get my first job, which my stepmother, I get these things confused. It's not like I'm employed by Ancestry.com. I don't know the difference between the two, apparently. So that she got me the job, and I folded, and I had to show up, and I couldn't leave until they told me to leave at the end of the day. It was just awful. And that was my first work experience. When I was a child, I sold lemonade on the corner in front of my house. We had a corner house, which means the corner of the house was on the corner of the street. And I would sit there with a little TV tray table and a little folding chair, and I would sell lemonade. And nobody would ever stop for me. And they shouldn't have either. Because the lemonade was tainted with arsenic, because I didn't care for people back then. And I figured if they get sick, whatever. You know, at least I made 5 cents on the glass of lemonade, you know what I'm saying? So I did that, and I delivered papers. By the way, I don't want to just talk about me. So what did you do? Go on, tell me. I can't hear you. No, this is a one-way thing. I can't hear you. I delivered papers for a while. That sucked. I did enjoy it because it only took about an hour to do it, and I got on my bicycle, and I would throw papers around in people's bushes. The worst part was trying to collect. I mean, seriously, I would have to, on Fridays, like today, I would have to actually get off my bicycle and walk up to the front door of these like 20 houses that I served. And I would say, yeah, I'm collecting for the paper. And they would say, I'm sorry, I'm a little short of cash. You fucking bastard, I would say to them. I was only 5 years old, but that's what I called them. Now, half of them didn't have the money. Okay. All right, you're getting your lawn mowed professionally. You're paying for your house. You have cars, all that, but you can't give me money for the paper, which kind of like only amounted like to $2.50. You don't have that. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a little short right now, young man. Well, first of all, not a young man. I'm a kid trying to eke a living, trying to feed my family on $2.50 a week. And you come up a little short? Wow. It was awful. And if I didn't have enough money, I would have to pay the paper the amount of money that... Because I would buy the papers. That's how they had it set up. Yeah, I would buy the papers from them like for a nickel, and then I would collect, and I would get tips and then keep the extra money. But these bastards just wouldn't pay me. Oh, I'm a little short right now. Yeah, you're a little short all the time. I'm a little short. I'm a little short on patience. So I did that for a while. Then when it snowed, I lived in Teaneck, New Jersey. And when it snowed there, and it snowed quite a bit back then.
It snowed quite a bit back then in the Bible days.
I would get my father's snow shovel. And I would shovel other people's driveways, not mine, just theirs. And they would pay me a good amount of money because they needed that service. And also, I wouldn't do it until they paid me, unlike the newspaper route, whatever. Those are some of the jobs I had when I was younger. But yeah, folding sweaters in a department store, not good, not good. I don't recommend that. And then I went on to do other things. Oh my God, the greatest job I had, which was the stupidest, I lied my way into it. Ron, you lied your way into a job? Yes, yes, you have to sometimes. Only lie your way into jobs that you think you can really do and where they can't check on it too easily. There was a football player back then named Joe Namath. He was quarterback for the New York Jets. He's still alive. He's about 80 or something like that. Amazingly, he has both his knees. I don't know how that happened. But anyways, very famous quarterback, Joe Namath. And he decided at the height of his career to open up Joe Namath burger places. And they were called Joe Namaths or something. So, not Nathan's, Namath's. So it was Broadway Joe Namath was the name of his fast food thing, and it was basically hamburgers and fries and that kind of thing. Well, it was Broadway. It was Times Square. And that was my next job. And I walked in there, and they were hiring a short order chef. Didn't know what that meant, but it sounded like food was involved, and I've eaten food before, so I was somewhat familiar with the product. I've had hamburgers before and some fries. So, okay, I get it. So I walk in there and this fat chubby man, not Joe Namath, this fat chubby man, so do you have any experience flipping burgers? And I said, yeah. I've been doing this all my life and I'm only like 19. Yeah. Where did you flip burgers?
All over the place. Literally.
All right, you're hired. Okay, here's what you do. You show up at 6 o'clock. You go back into the kitchen. There's a little chute in the kitchen. You take the burgers. You flip them on the grill. You put them on the bun. You wrap them up in this paper, and you send them down the chute.
You mean I never see the light of day?
No, you just send the burgers down the chute. No light of day for you. Just flip the burgers, run down the chute. I guess you've done this before.
Oh, yeah, thousands of times in my recent history.
All right, fine. You know, oddly enough, they didn't ask me if I knew how to fold sweaters. I don't know why not. So I started 6 o'clock, and I was flipping burgers, and it was quite busy. This is in Times Square, you know. This is, like, really busy. And I'm working. I'm sweating onto the griddle. I think my sweat made the burgers that much more tasty. And there was some guy working with me in the kitchen who was in charge of the lettuce and that kind of thing and some of the toppings, because all they had was burgers and fries, and he... You know, he was back there, and his name was Jose or Hose. I don't know which it was. Or Josie. I don't know what. He didn't speak English at all. I mean, not at all. There was a lot of pointing going on.
Look, I'm pointing to this. Take that and help me with the pointing.
He didn't speak English. But that's okay, because I didn't speak whatever language he was. And I still don't know to this day what he was. Anyway, we closed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I worked 6 to 1. And then, much to my chagrin, which was never mentioned in the interview, now I had to clean the grill and clean down the equipment and stay until 2:30 in the morning cleaning the equipment.
You didn't say this was part of the job.
Well, I only lasted 3 days at that job because I didn't want to go home at 2:30 in the morning cleaning down grease off of a grill and off the walls. It wasn't me. I was a professional sweater folder. What am I doing flipping burgers? Well, I lied my way into that job. That's what happened. By the way, if you ever want to lie your way into a job, sometimes you have to do that. But again, only do it when you really know how to do the job. If you don't know how to do the job, then it's fruitless because they're going to fire you really quick anyway. But when they say, do you have any experience? You always say yes. And they said, where did you work? Do your homework first. Do your research. Find businesses that shut down at least 5-6 years ago. where if the if your future employer decides to call to check on your references, they can't do that because they don't answer the phone because the place is shut down. Nobody answers the phone. You can't get the records of the people that work there because the business, they're out of business. That works really well. And if you can also look up the names of some of the people or managers that used to work at whatever place shut down, if you can get that information, which is easy to do now because online everything just stays there. Even, the company shut down, but all the information stays online. You can say, yeah, I worked for the vice president, Morty Fishman. Morty Fishman, I don't know him. Yeah, he was the vice president. Let me check this out. Yeah, you're right, he was. Okay, fine. You're hired. It really, it backfired on me once because I did get a job, I think it was Federal Express or something. I was so young. And I did mention a reference of a place that was still open, and they called the place, and they found out I never worked there, and I was fired immediately. And they didn't accuse me of lying to them, just that I had made a mistake in reporting my background. So, I know, just do it. If you're going to do something, do it right. That's all I have to say. All right, kids. It is Friday. Most people are very excited about the weekend because all you do is drink beer. You know, we're coming up to October. October, can you believe it's already October 2053? My, how time flies. October is a month of Oktoberfests. And nobody knows what that means other than there's a lot of beer involved. Let me tell you something about beer. Beer is stupid. Beer is stupid. All it does is give you gas. And they know that too. I was watching a commercial on television for Guinness beer, which is the only beer that I will drink because it actually has a flavor and a taste to it. And it's a little creamier than just drinking soda water. So I like the Guinness beer. And there's a guy, I think it's Joe Montana, used to be quarterback, different than Joe Namath. Joe Montana, it was quarterback for, I think, San Francisco 49ers. Whoa, boy, Ron, you know something about sports. That's incredible. So he's sitting there with a bottle of Guinness in front of him, and it says Guinness Zero on it. Wow, that doesn't mean no sugar. No, it means that there's no alcohol in the beer. And he says, I can't tell the difference between real Guinness and Guinness that has no alcohol in it. And my immediate response was, why in the world? Why in the world would somebody drink beer with no alcohol in it? Well, I like the taste of beer. Who does? Why? No, we tolerate the taste of beer because it has alcohol in it. Beer does not taste wonderful. That's why they put alcohol in it, because after a while, you don't care about the taste of the beer anymore. Beer does two things to me, and I do not drink it as a rule, unless it's Oktoberfest, or there's nothing else to drink. Beer does two things to me. It gives me incredible amount of gas. And secondly, I have to pee every 3 minutes. I don't understand how that happens, because just one bottle of beer and I'm peeing like 3 gallons of urine. I don't understand that at all. It's some kind of physiological wonderment. But Joe Montana, man, sitting in front of a bottle of beer that has no alcohol in it and says, I can't taste the difference. And so, what's your point? Why would you want... What? Why you... Why are they making beer with no alcohol in it? Why don't you just drink soda? Because I want to look like I'm drinking beer. That's stupid. Because I love the taste of beer. Nobody does. I mean, maybe they do, but it's weird. Beer is not a flavor. That wasn't the purpose of it. Let's create beer. Why? People love the flavor. No, they don't. All right. Enough about beer. My guest is going to join us momentarily. He actually, are you familiar with lacrosse? I'm not. I wasn't. I'm not. But apparently, now it's on network television, and we can watch championships this weekend. So that might be interesting. I'm going to watch because I've never seen. And it's a different kind of sport, I got to tell you. They do it a lot in college and sometimes high school. Professionally, I've not heard of that. They do it in the Olympics, but I don't watch the Olympics because that's too long and annoying. So, lacrosse coming up. Your education in both lacrosse and how to fold sweaters. All in one show. I know. But before we do that, it's time to listen to this.
Looking for a fun night out? Check out that bar near your house, now featuring live entertainment all weekend. Friday night, it's one guy and a guitar playing 90s cover tunes and original songs about his recent breakup. Catch a dose of classic rock on Saturday nights with that band fronted by that chick you knew in high school who's still pretty hot after a couple drinks. Sunday afternoons, it's three old guys and a hipster doing their very best to play jazz. And don't miss the big hot Sunday dance party with your DJ, the bartender's second wife's stepson with those weird things in his ears. It's all happening this weekend at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Paul Rabel joins us now. He's a renowned professional lacrosse player and co-founder and president of the Premier Lacrosse League. And a big weekend coming up. How you doing, Paul?
Ron, I'm good. I'm talking to you from New York City. We're about to be in Philadelphia for our championship game on Sunday at Subaru Park at 3 p.m. on ABC.
Yay!
And I love my Boston family. Played there for 7 years.
Wow. Okay. A lot of people are going to tune in, Paul, because they haven't watched lacrosse before ever in their lives. They've heard of it, but they've never really watched it. And to see a professional competition like this could be quite exciting for them.
Yeah, we had a great first week in Albany back in June, where we had 782,000 people tune into our game on ABC. This is a different time of the year, obviously, football season, so a lot of people up your way are supporting the Pats and watching Coach Belichick, who, by the way, was a lacrosse player. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, of that same range of people who tune in, there's always, you know, I cross my fingers and always hope that there are new fans to the sport so they can see the action at its highest.
Right. Well, they're not watching football up here these days. But anyway, we're excited about this. Personally, I've seen lacrosse before, but I've never understood it. But when I'm watching it play professionally, I start to get it. It is a lot like football. It's a lot like soccer. It's kind of a meld of a lot of different sports, but using different equipment, I guess.
Totally. And look, lacrosse was the first game of North America. So it's a Native American game. It's been played for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. It was the first team sport. It was established when French missionaries came over and began their settling in Canada. And so the version of the game is actually, to your point, an amalgamation of so many others because it was the first. So whether it was basketball or hockey or football in America, there are different parts of lacrosse that you see come to life. And there's also a ton of crossover. There's been athletes that have had a high level of output in college to play in the NFL. Chris Hogan was a two-time All-American at Penn State, and then he took his talents to the gridiron. So there's a lot of similarities. It's an exciting sport. It's fast-paced. There's more control of possession than hockey and more goals than hockey and soccer.
Yes, and that makes it more interesting to watch because, when you talk about action, it's continual. There's more scoring, there's more action, there's not a lot of stoppage at all, and it moves quick. And I think that's what people are going for these days. They tried to speed up baseball. That apparently didn't work too much, but, that's the name of the game, so to speak. How many teams are involved in the league?
So we have 8 teams. When we launched the PLL, that was in 2019. Mm-hmm. So relatively new, the Premier Lacrosse League. We launched with 6 teams, and we've expanded at a pretty quick rate given the growth of the game. But pro lacrosse had been around for 20 years prior. I had played for 14 years professionally in Major League Lacrosse, who we since had acquired. And when I was in Major League Lacrosse, as I referenced at the top of our interview, I was playing for the Boston Cannon at Harvard Stadium. So the game at the professional level has been around actually for 25 years, despite this being our fifth at the PLL.
Yeah, but it has always been very, very popular in collegiate sports.
Yeah, hugely popular. It was actually first played in 1877. You had Manhattan College play NYU, going back to a history of team sports in America. And there are over 70 Division I men's programs, over 120 Division I women's programs. Mm-hmm. It continues to grow like wildfire here in the U.S.
Yeah. It's a bit violent in a way. I notice that they're kind of wearing football jersey types of things, but yet they're allowed to poke each other with sticks. It seems like, wow, I mean, are there injuries involved?
There are definitely injuries. It's a bit of a gladiator warrior sport.
Yeah.
I mean, the original name of the game was Dehonkeet Wahes, again, by the people of the Six Nations, and that means they bump hips.
Yes.
So there's lots of contact. You are allowed to check with your stick as long as you are targeting the ball carrier and their hands or the stick that possesses the ball.
Uh-huh.
Anything egregious to the helmet is a penalty, but definitely more contact, I would say, hockey with the stick, and not as much tackling as you see in American football, but
right.
There's definitely some big hits.
Right. And there are four 15-minute quarters, I understand?
Four 12-minutes. We
12
play a 48-minute match. Like
okay.
The NBA, yeah.
All
so
right.
we fit squarely in that two-hour window of our network partner. We have a pregame and halftime show. Someone will be hoisting our Cash App Tiffany trophy at the end of the 4 o'clock hour, which will be really exciting.
Wow! Now tell me about the two teams that are facing off on. Is it Sunday?
Yeah. So we have the Archers, who are the number one team in the league. They're led by the MVP Tom Schreiber.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just been a perennial midfielder, Team USA captain, and great offensive talent. And then you have the Water Dogs Lacrosse Club that are the reigning champs, and they're led by Philly's own Michael Sowers, who was last year's championship game MVP.
Uh-huh.
So you really have the two best offenses, to your earlier call, Ron,
and
that fans that are either familiar to the game or new to the game are going to see lacrosse at its highest level. Offensively, I'd expect a lot of goals, but both teams do have really stout goaltenders. So those championship games, no matter the sport you're watching, they tend to have the best players on the field.
Now this is Sunday at 3 p.m. on ABC. Congratulations on that, by the way. I don't recall seeing lacrosse on network television. Is this a first?
We were on network television in our first partnership with NBC when we launched.
Mm-hmm.
That was a first, and now with ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, we actually had 8 broadcast games this season.
Good.
So we're finishing off with a bang here for the ABC final.
Well, this is an opportunity to watch and learn about the sport. I don't know that much about it, but I did watch some videos and such, and it seemed really exciting. So, congratulations! Are you still actively playing, or are you behind the scenes now?
I'm now just behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I tried playing and operating in 2019, 2020, and 2021, and then that was just too much.
Yes.
So I retired after the 2021 season. Now I'm just focused as our league's co-founder and president.
Well, congratulations on that too. It does look like a grueling sport, no question about it. You got to be fit, and you got to get into it. So, it seems like a lot. Is it one of those sports where you retire at 18?
I think as we continue to look at professional lacrosse players, the average age is about the same as what you get in football and basketball.
Yeah.
Good career is 4 to 6 years. Some of the Hall of Famers will play more than 10, but.
Yeah.
The average age, say, is 24 to 26.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, 3 o'clock ABC Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, by the way. And congratulations to you, Paul, and we hope to see a lot more of it in the near future. I know we will.
Thanks for having me, Ron, and I'm looking forward to getting your feedback after you watch this game and hopefully become a fan, and we can do this more often.
Great, we can talk again. Thank you, my friend. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guest, and thank you to you for listening. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.